Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the plot of thunder and rock and roll, and it's Friday. So you know what that means. It's time for the Halloween-themed Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling. Happy Halloween. You know what a cow with a cold says? Boo. Happy Halloween joke right there. Boo. Cow with a cold.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan never lets us down on Fridays. Always gets our weekend started with a laugh. Well, almost always. Boo. Thanks, Duff. But listen, I want to tell you, I had a lot of laughs and a great, great time on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. So many great moments that I can remember. I think the Fozzy shows pulling out of the Miami port with Fozzy kicking in and the Sail Away show. Something I'll never forget, just that feeling of, wow, we actually did it. Here we are. You know, and it's not just me, it's 3,000 people enjoying this experience with me, making it our experience. The second night we did a cover set, which was so much fun. Probably the funnest show, one of the top 10 funnest shows we've ever played. Corey Taylor joined us for You Really Got Me and Cold Gin. Phil Campbell came and joined us on Breaking the Law. Eddie from King was up there singing Judas. And Jack Slade played drums on TNT. Just a great time. All the Fozzy shows were fun. Really enjoyed the podcasts. The Eddie Guerrero podcast was very special. That's coming up very soon. I love The Stir. They gained a lot of fans, just kicked ass all across the board. Brad Williams, so funny. Alpha Club versus Bullet Club, can't miss. Five-star match. And the Impact versus Ring of Honor 10-man tag was amazing as well. Kind of a Mario Kart themed deal from the Bullet Club. Actually, they're not the Bullet Club anymore. They're the Elite. We're going to get into that more when we do that podcast next week. So anyways, one of the best times of my life, just a great experience. So many fun people, so many fun experiences, and we are working diligently to announce more news about a second Rager at Sea. And of course, like I said, the Alpha Club versus Bullet Club, 5-star, can't miss classic. And if you weren't there to see it, you can watch it. Streaming for Vengeance pay-per-view tomorrow night, Saturday, November 3rd at 8 p.m. exclusively on Fight.tv and the Fight TV app. So sign up for that now. See all the great matches from the Sea of Honor tournament and the huge main event, the Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club. All right. Hope everyone had a killer Halloween. We're still celebrating here on Talk is Jericho. As Wes Germer from the Sasquatch Chronicles returns to the show with more stories about Bigfoot encounters, supernatural experiences, and dogman sightings. Prepare to be fascinated, completely creeped out all at the same time. Fozzy guitar player Billy Gray joins us, but here we are, Wes Germer returning for the Squatchcast. Don't turn your lights off. All right, so here in Portland, and the last time I was here, I got to meet Wes Germer. Germer with an M, right? Germer.
Germer.
Yeah, Billy asked me, what's his last name? I said, Wes Scanlon. I'm like, well, that's the singer of Puddle of Mud. It's not the same Wes. You want to move that stuff, you can, Billy. Get it out of your way or whatever. So obviously the proprietor of the Sasquatch Chronicles, which about 2 years ago was up and coming to becoming the biggest, one of the biggest in America. I'm assuming now it's gone over the top as, yeah, as one of the biggest.
Well, thanks to you. Thanks for coming on your
really?
Show. Really? Yeah.
It made a difference.
Oh, a huge difference, man.
In what way?
I was surprised to how many wrestling fans are into Bigfoot.
Well, it's not just wrestling fans, it's Jericho fans, because that's something that I really do put a lot of emphasis on my show is the paranormal type stuff, the cryptozoology. So I have a pretty big following of paranormal people that are into it as well. So, and then Billy Gray is here, guitar player extraordinaire.
Hello, Fozzie. Everybody. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, good appreciate friend of mine.
Good to meet you, Wes.
Good to meet you, Billy.
He's our special co-host today because Billy is also a big Squatch fan, researcher, looking for one.
When I'm not rocking, I'm squatching.
We always said we have a bike in the back of the trailer, like a motor, not a motor, like a mountain bike, I should say.
Yeah.
So we try and just ride around and ask Billy where he went yesterday. He said he went squatching in Medford, Oregon.
Yeah, in Medford. Yeah, just
fine. She called me up, man. We could have gone.
Dude,
20 minutes from here, 30 minutes from here. There's some crazy spots.
Oh, well, next time I'm here, bro.
I'll show you guys where to go park the van up on a mountain. And
Next time we're here, bro.
Yeah, the bus.
It's a date.
Yeah, yeah, the bus, exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's okay to get it right.
Yeah.
But what you're saying, so this is still quite a hot spot here. Has there been a lot of new activity lately? Or
Not in so much in this area. I think what I'm really been digging into lately is the government cover-up.
I've wondered about that, dude.
Yeah, there's a lot of situations, man, to where people don't realize when you think of Bigfoot, you think of just this hairy monkey out there. Occasionally someone, if you believe in it.
Yes.
Occasionally someone runs into it, but you don't realize how deep it actually goes into a cover-up.
I understand that.
Right. Well, so tell us a little bit more about the government cover-up.
I got a couple examples. I had a guy on just a couple weeks ago. He actually shot one. And he shot it on his property.
Where?
And this was, now you're going to make me think. I want to say it was down south. I can't think of exactly where.
So he shot an actual creature.
What happened was, is him and his dad bought this property. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's hundreds of acres.
Okay.
And he's out one day and he's hunting. And they're starting to learn how to, they're starting to hunt this property.
Gotcha.
Learn the property, hunt the property. And he was up in his tree stand and sun's starting to come up and he sees this thing darting in between the trees.
Trees, yeah. Okay.
And he's like, but it's not bright enough yet. He's thinking, I don't know if that's a bear. I don't know quite exactly what that is. So he sits there real quiet. And as the sun's coming up, this thing's moving closer and closer and closer to him. And what really upset him was, is he said that it would communicate almost like it was talking to another one.
Yep.
It was mumbling this real archaic chatter.
Right.
And if you ever heard like the Ron Moorhead tapes, the samurai chatter.
There's a guy up in Ontario who's got some chatter from some creatures in this.
Is this the stuff that you sent me last time to kind of plug in as sound bites?
No, this is different.
Okay, so is it kind of like dolphin sounds, or what is he talking about?
No, it sounds like just a really big, huge guy who's
just mumbling.
You know my name, look up the number by the Beatles, they just go.
So he sees this thing, and finally, it steps out from behind the tree, and it was kind of tree peeking at him, and he was trying to figure out, is this a guy in a suit? Because it wasn't a bear.
He didn't know, yeah.
And so he's watching this thing, and it's talking, or it seems like it's talking with another one, and it's not leaving. And the one that he can't see, but he can hear it, it's coming closer and closer from behind. So they're kind of squeezing him in like a mouse. So the short version of the story is, it finally steps out. And he realizes that he can't, if he gets down and runs, it's going to run him down his mind. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And so he decides to shoot it, but he didn't want to kill it. And so he shot it right above the knee.
Oh.
And right behind where it was at was actually a tree stump.
Okay.
And so he hits this thing and it immediately screams and runs off.
Yeah.
And so he gets down from the tree stand and he runs back to his truck and that's the end of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to tell his dad what he saw.
Okay.
You know, he's doesn't not sure what to say to his dad. You know, what do you say to your dad? I saw Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah, shot Bigfoot.
Right, yeah,
right.
And so he doesn't tell his dad anything. A couple days goes by, and finally he tells his dad. He goes, I think I shot something. And he's trying to tell his dad what he's like, I feel crazy, Wes, because I didn't believe in Bigfoot. Here, right. I shot one of these things. And so he tells his dad, he goes, I don't know what I shot. It might have been a bear. I don't know what I shot, because he wasn't going to tell his dad what he saw.
Totally.
So his dad, him and his dad go back out to the location. Well, he's smart enough to take his knife out. The bullet was stuck in
the stump. Back
the stump, there, yeah. And there was blood, and there was hair, and there was bone matter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so he digs it all out with his knife, and he puts it in a little baggie.
Yeah.
And his dad's like, what are you doing? And so he doesn't have a great answer for why he wants the bullet, and why he wants, but he dug it all out.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is he comes on the show, and I'm like, well, just tell you got to tell your dad what you saw.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid your dad's out there and
runs into him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, something else has happened. His dad goes out to the property, and his dad had seen, he was in the same area of where this happened. His dad actually saw a deer kill. And both back legs were broke.
Broken. Yeah.
And its head was twisted around 360 wow. degrees, and it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad's looking at it, and his dad's an old timer. You know, he's like, I've never seen anything kill a deer like this.
Gotcha.
You know? And so his dad ended up getting hit in the back of the head with a rock.
Oh.
And knocked him out. And his dad had actually taken pictures of the deer because he was going to send it to Fish and Game.
Yes.
Because his dad's like, well, is this a bear? Is this a bear kill? What killed this?
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's a poacher. You know, his dad doesn't know what.
Yeah, what's no, and on their property, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So his dad wakes up. I don't know how long he was out, but he had blood. He actually had split the back end of his head open.
Whoa!
So he goes to the hospital. Has I think it was 8 or 9 stitches, and he calls Fish and Game, and he tells Fish and Game, "I think we got a poacher out there, because I came across this kill." And the guy started throwing rocks at me.
Gotcha.
So Fish and Game come out to talk to the guy's dad. When they come out to talk to the guy's dad, he's showing him pictures of the kill.
Yep.
These two DNR officers. And he's like, well, what would have done this? And they both look at his pictures and then kind of look at each other and then look back at him. And they're like, maybe it was a bear. And so he's like, well, the other thing, too, is I don't think it was a bear. And they said, well, why don't you think it was a bear? It's because whoever was out there was throwing rocks, and he showed him he was hurt. And he goes, my son actually shot a bear out there. And they go, oh, really? We'd like to talk to your son.
Yeah.
Well, here's where it starts to get weird. They called him and told him, because I wanted the bullet, I wanted the bone matter, and I wanted the...
You did.
I did.
Yeah, dude.
Because I knew a guy that would do DNA on it for nothing.
Oh, man.
And so I was like, FedEx it to me tonight.
Don't wait.
FedEx it to me tonight. He's like, well, these two guys show up at his house. And when he was on the show, he said that it was in his gun safe. He was keeping the blood, the hair, everything in his gun safe.
Gotcha.
They show up. First thing they want is they want the blood, the bullet. They knew exactly what he shot.
Yeah, they did.
And they didn't even mess around with this guy. And they told him, don't talk about this anymore. You shot a bear, but he was smart. I asked him to send me pictures of it before,
because
I knew they were coming. He sent me pictures. It's a bullet. It looks like bone matter, looks like blood, and looks like hair.
Got some hair on it. Wow.
Yeah, and it's not hair like from a normal animal.
So who are these guys that showed up at his door?
He says that they claimed to be DNR officers. They were
Department of Natural Resources.
Yeah. Fishing Game. And so... They told him that if he knew what was good for him, he'd keep his mouth shut. And as far as all the parties are concerned, he shot a bear.
Wow.
And he was trying to convince them it wasn't a bear. And why would they want...
What are they trying to hide?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, what are they hiding? I mean...
And there's another guy I just had on the show. And here's what happened in this encounter. It's him and his cousin.
Yes.
And they're out fishing. And this is down south.
Down south, okay.
So they're out fishing, and rocks start being thrown at them. They're in a boat. Rocks start being thrown at them. And these guys don't believe in Bigfoot. They think it's, you know, he thought it was BS.
Gotcha.
So he's sitting out there and they're getting, rocks are just plung, plung all over in the water near the boat. And the one guy I talked to, he goes, I thought it was a black man up there throwing rocks at us because I got a glimpse of him.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they think it's a black man.
Oh.
So he goes, take me to shore. We're going to go teach this guy a lesson, you know, because they're pissed. You know, they're,
yeah, dude. Yeah.
And so they go to shore and his cousin starts picking up rocks and starts throwing rocks in that general direction, right where this tree's at, where they saw this quote unquote black guy.
Gotcha.
Never mind that. That's just Portland.
That's going to be the DNR, quote unquote,
DNR's
coming for us right now.
Right now.
See you later, guys. It was great being on the show. So they start throwing rocks at this tree. And as they walk up, this thing actually steps out from behind the tree. And he goes, Wes, it was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen in my life. It wasn't a man.
Wow.
It wasn't an ape. It wasn't. He goes, I don't know. I can't describe to you exactly what this thing was. He goes, a cross between like a Neanderthal and I guess an ape.
Yeah.
Just the ugliest thing you'd ever seen. And so when it stepped out, there's kind of this face off. Well, it rushes the guys.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And he said, within a blink of an eye, the thing was on top of him. And it actually had hit his cousin, the guy throwing the rocks.
Kidding me?
It hit him. Yeah, this is
crazy, dude.
Crazy story.
Yeah,
so it hits this guy. He goes tumbling down the embankment.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other guy that I talked to is standing there, and he has a gun and everything.
Yeah.
He's like, this thing was probably 8-9 feet tall,
God.
Maybe 1,000 pounds. He goes, this thing was built for killing. I mean, this thing, and he goes, I didn't even realize it hit my cousin. He goes, because it like in a blink of an eye, it was on top.
It was on him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he goes down, his cousin's moaning. He goes down there to try and help his cousin. And as he's helping his cousin, it actually picks up a log and throws it at him.
Wow.
And hits the guy that was throwing the rocks.
Again.
Hits him again.
Jeez.
Damn.
And he said that it was doing this mouth pop. And so doesn't leave the area. It's still kind of watching them. And he's trying to pick his cousin up. He's trying to get him in the boat. He said you know, when there's water and there's blood, it looks a lot worse than what.
Yeah.
Because it dilutes everywhere.
What kind of injury did he have? He was cut open by one of the rocks or something?
No,
or?
A lot worse than that.
Oh.
It's about, okay. So,
we're getting to it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
all right.
Shut up, Chris.
No, not at all. You're too big of a guy for me to say that to you. So he goes down, he helps his cousin. He said when it took off, it took like one step, leaped like 20 feet. He goes, it didn't even look real when I saw it. Didn't even look real. And he said this thing took off on all fours.
Oh,
so he's helping his cousin up into the boat and he's trying to call 911 and they don't have a signal. And so they start taking the boat and he said it's about a 45 minute ride back to where they put in.
Gotcha.
And his cousin's moaning and coughing up blood.
Ooh.
And so he decides to call the non-emergency number and he said, we've been attacked. And he said the operator kept asking questions and he's like, hey, man, I just saw a monster. He's like, I'm going off like a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm sure I sound like a madman to this woman. Mm-hmm. He's like, but I don't know what to say to her. She wants to know what we've been attacked by. And he goes, I don't know. Because I didn't, you know, I'm still not thinking Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they pull ashore. And as they come up to the boat ramp, there's a sheriff officer. There's a fishing game officer. And there's county deputy there. And so they pull the guys aside and start questioning them. And he said, none of these guys believe them. None of them.
Ah.
Except for one. And, you know, the typical cop game, they pull everyone aside, try and get the story.
Yeah, everybody's story, see if it all adds up.
And they want to know how much you guys been drinking. He's like, Wes, I haven't drank in years.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, it must have been a boating accident. He's like, it wasn't a boating accident. He's like, I'm telling you, this thing came out of nowhere and bum rushed us. And he goes, I don't know what to tell you. And he said, in the meantime, his cousin's coughing up blood and they're still questioning him and there's no ambulance waiting. And so finally, one of the cops pulls him aside and goes, I believe you. I've actually seen one.
Ah.
And so they go, he gives them a number for one of these cryptid shows.
Yes.
And they're locally. And he goes, I got to take my cousin to the hospital. So they go to the hospital. His cousin has like 3 broken ribs and like a punctured lung.
Wow.
And now there's a big problem because now there's documentation.
Yes.
So
because of the medical?
Because of the medical. Doctor, medical. Yeah. Yeah. So how do you explain 3 broken ribs and, you know?
Right. Yeah, you know.
Now it's a big problem. So when they go to the hospital, he said those same guys showed up, but some other guys showed up there.
Oh.
And they start questioning them on what they saw. And he goes, I've already told you. I told you guys at the boat ramp. I told you guys when we got here. And now I'm telling you guys the same thing again. We ran into a monster. It attacked us. It wasn't a bear and it wasn't a man. And he goes, I don't know what to tell you guys. And so they separate them again. And these guys go in and talk to the guy that's injured. And he can hear his cousin yelling at him and saying, you know, F you guys.
Yeah.
I told you it wasn't a bear. You know, on and on and on. And then his cousin shuts up. Then they come and talk to him. And they're like, you ran into a bear is what you ran into. So they start telling this bear story again to these guys. He's like, we didn't run into a bear.
Yeah.
On and on and on. So they ended up leaving the hospital this couple days later. And an insurance adjuster shows up at his brother's home. Have you guys ever been injured in the hospital and had the insurance adjuster come to your home?
No.
So his insurance adjuster shows up at this guy's home and he's like, was it it must have been a bear attack. You know, we got to write this up for the insurance somehow. You know, it must have been a bear attack. And his cousin's like, write down whatever you want. I don't care anymore. Write down whatever you want.
Yeah.
So the guy I talked to, the other cousin.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to call the hospital because I need to file with the insurance.
Yes.
Because they were both there. He was there. He wasn't injured, but they checked him in to check him out and everything. Uh-huh. There's no record of those guys ever being in the hospital.
Oh, they did. Ah.
So they're just kind of getting rid of all the evidence, so to speak.
Yeah. And they were going to go on a large radio station there in town. So they show up to this. Well, first, they get a phone call from Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles, which wasn't me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, it wasn't me. Because I'm probably not telling the story right. They went on another podcast.
Gotcha.
And he'd been trying to reach me. Mm-hmm. And so he was asking the guy, do you know Wes? Because I'd like to talk to Wes.
Right.
And the guy said, well, I'll put you in touch with Wes. Well, him and I never connected. Well, they got a phone call from Wes. They wanted to know everything. And then they wanted to know what are you going to do about it? And they said, well, we got plans to go on this radio station and also this TV station. They were going to go on and just
tell the story.
So they show up to the radio station. And when they show up to the radio station goes dead for 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, I can't believe this is happening. He goes, Wes, a few months ago, I didn't believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I would have laughed at anyone that said they believed in Bigfoot. If you'd have told me there was a government cover-up, I would have laughed at you and for the government cover-up. He goes, so the radio station goes down. Well, they miss their... After about 20 minutes, it comes back up. And they tell the guys, we'll just reschedule this. Now the radio station wants nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
They don't even want to talk to them anymore. It's so odd.
It is.
So he's wants to keep telling everyone what happened. He's like, this is a safety issue.
Yes.
They go back out there a couple days later, and the military has a whole place shut down.
Oh, really?
The military's involved now.
Military's out there, has a whole place shut down. Can't even get into where they were.
Wow.
And they were told to leave, so they left. And he got contacted by child support. Really? And he goes, you know, Wes, I'm an old man. I paid off my child support 20 years ago. Now they're saying he owes $30,000 in child support.
So they're starting to come after him because they're him. Crazy. He
suspended his license.
Are you really?
Saying he owes back taxes. And the other guy I told you guys about, shot one, he was threatened that the IRS would come after him for back taxes. He goes, I don't owe back taxes. And they go, you don't yet. That's
dirty.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So get to the boiler. Yeah. What's your opinion on why there's a cover-up, other than just the obvious they don't want people to know that they exist? But why would they not want to know that?
I think there's more to these creatures than a simple monkey out there running around.
Right.
And I think that I have a few theories on it, but I think if it was nothing more than a simple primate, a non-human primate that we haven't been able to catch up with, why haven't we caught up with it?
Right.
I know it. Yeah. I mean, where do they live? Caves? I mean, you know what
exactly.
I mean? I'm just saying, where...
Are you subscribing to the theory that maybe they're from another dimension that pop in and pop out?
I don't think that they're from another dimension. I mean, I can tell you a very, very odd story if we have time, but...
We got nothing but... We've been waiting for this. Yeah, the Squatch Cast.
Yeah. But I think there's more going on with these creatures than what meets the eye. Well, why is it that hardly anyone can get a picture of these things? I can bring you police officers that have seen them. I can bring you judges that have seen them.
Yeah.
Hunters that have seen them.
And just as a segue, that's what you were saying when you did the show before, is that when you started the Sasquatch Chronicles, because of your experience, which you can go back and listen to, is that people coming out that were looking for somebody to talk to, and they weren't just meth heads out of the forest. No, you had judges, lawyers,
cops,
army guys, you know, firefighters, everything in between. So.
Yeah.
Continue. I just want to point out.
No. And so a lot of people are seeing them, but why is there very little proof that it exists? I mean, I can bring you footprints. I can bring you sounds. I can bring you evidence that it's there.
Yes.
But people aren't just seeing this in the United States.
Oh,
they have one down in Australia.
Yep, they sure do.
They have them up in Canada.
Yeah.
They have them in China.
Yeah,
they have them in Russia.
Yeah.
But well, why is it that no one's caught up with it?
All
makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Well, that's also the reason why people go, that's bullshit, because no one's ever saw one. And after all this time, you think somebody would have.
Right.
So either, like you said, what's your reasoning why they haven't?
I guess my short answer is I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think there's more going on here than what meets the eye. In a lot of situations where people have these things on their property and they get pictures or they start getting evidence, and this is going to sound nuts to some of the audience listening, but all of a sudden, black helicopter. They start seeing black helicopters flying.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yep.
And military showing up.
Yeah.
Why is the military so interested in... And so to answer your question, Chris, I really don't know why they're covering it up. But I think there's way more going on here.
Yeah, and like in the national parks, there's the guy, David Pilates, who's done that study. Have you heard about him? He's he does research on all the national park disappearances. And there's been a couple that are really weird and could involve creatures. And the park guys are like, oh, no, it was a bear. It was a bear. They always blame it on a bear.
So. Yeah. Would it be actual people disappearing from the parks?
From national parks. Like
touring and hiking or whatever?
Hiking,
yeah, strange,
stuff like that. Yeah.
Strange. He's an ex-cop and it's missing 411. But he has a lot of, if you ever buy the books, they read like police reports. But there's a lot of very odd, strange reports in there. There's like Dennis Martin. I think you and I talked about that last time, where they were playing tag and he's within 40 feet of his dad.
Yep.
Goes behind a bush. All the rest of the kids come out.
He doesn't come out. Yep.
And he's gone.
Right.
And then down the trail, 2 miles down the trail, people are hiking, reporting a bear with what appeared to be a child over its shoulder running on two legs.
Yeah.
And so this is like 1960 something.
Yeah, this is in the 60s. Yeah.
Right.
And so they didn't know what they saw. They were like, well, it was a bear on two legs.
And
you know?
A bear's not going to throw a kid over his shoulder.
No, and take off.
Yeah.
No.
So when you're talking about this and you're mentioning kind of like the government cover up and all that stuff, are we seeing more sightings than before? Is it kind of always just the same? Are you getting a lot of people calling you saying, hey, man, I got a story to tell you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
In the ridiculous category, I mean, you're getting so much traffic.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Of people that have seen these. And most of the time, people don't want to come on the show.
Yeah.
So for every encounter you hear.
Yeah, they don't want to pay back taxes and use their license, right?
Well,
yeah.
I think with government, I don't think that they care about what you've seen. I don't think they care about your experience. They only care if you can prove it, or if there's documentation to where there'd be too many questions. That's when they get interested.
Yeah.
They don't really care what you've seen. They don't really care what you experience, because it's all unicorns and leprechauns.
Yeah.
As far as the general public.
Sure.
So they don't care.
Gotcha.
But if you got a bullet and blood and hair and bone samples.
Physical evidence.
Now you're a huge pain in the ass for
them. Yeah.
Can you imagine what would have happened if you were able to get that sample and send it to the guy to do the DNA test?
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you have found, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of stuff have you been getting, though? You mentioned the ridiculous reports. Would they give us some other examples of things?
Not so much ridiculous reports, but there's...
Ridiculous amounts, though.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so there must be some that stand out for you.
There's one in particular. It's a very odd story, and I'll tell you why I believe these guys.
Okay.
So I had these... did I talk about this last time? They're two brothers?
I don't recall. I'm in Rome.
Yeah.
It's 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's true. I can't tell you what I did yesterday.
Head banging and bumps since then. Yeah.
So I had these two brothers that called me. And you hear them in the beginning of the show. One of them says, he told me to grab a gun. And I said, for what? He said, just grab a gun. What ended up happening in this encounter is these two brothers had bought this property. This is going to get probably too weird for you, Chris, but I'm going to go for it.
Do it.
So these two guys buy this property, and it's this large, large property. And they start cutting down all the brush and all the trees. One of the brothers, when he was out there one night, he says the sun was just starting to go down, and he hears what sounds like someone running up this road. It was a gravel road. And he kind of looks up, and he's kind of looking over, and he goes, it was a monkey. And it was running right at me. And he goes, it looked pissed. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what he was looking at. He's right. Like, did a gorilla just escape from the zoo? So he gets up and he realizes it's not a monkey. Starts running for his brother's home,
gotcha.
Which was right there. And he runs through the garage. This thing had chased him all the way through the garage, all the way up to the door. When it had chased him up to the door, it actually had peed out of excitement. For chasing this guy. Mm-hmm. And he said the pee was real greasy and it stunk.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so he goes in there, he tells his brother, and I'll kind of cut some of the story down. But anyway, they keep running into these things on the property. Wow. And so they call me and he starts telling me what's happening. And he said, Wes, it's getting bad. They're coming up to my daughter's window. And he didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
And it would tap on his daughter's window. And his daughter's only like 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And so he's pissed. So they come up with this idea of shooting him. But there's too many. How many are on the property? He goes, I don't know. We've seen three or four different ones that look different in the face. And he goes, but you only get glimpses. It's not like they just sit out in the open. He said they'll run in between the trees and they'll throw rocks at the house. They'll roar and scream at the house.
Yeah.
And he goes, I know where they're coming down from. It's on this ridge line above my home. And he goes, our plan is to shoot one. He goes, we've tried to get videos of them.
Yeah.
And they did have some good pictures. And if you want to see them, I'll send them to you. But it looks like the pictures they have looked like a gorilla kind of sitting down in the tall grass.
Yeah.
Watching them as he's snapping the pictures. And he sent them to me, and they're great pictures. Mm-hmm. And so... It keeps getting worse and worse on this property. They're getting more and more aggressive. And he said almost every time we step out of the house, someone's getting chased, or if people come over, we have to go out with our guns and like escort them in the house. And after a while, I could tell these guys hadn't slept. I could just tell. These guys weren't sleeping well at night. And I'm like, listen, guys, it's your property. Do whatever you want. If it was my property, I don't know that I would shoot one, because... this isn't like shooting a grizzly bear, and because it gets worse, they seem to have a vengeance streak, and I can give you many examples of that.
Right.
And so it starts to kind of get weird on the property. So one of the brothers calls me, this is months later, and sound like a totally different guy, like this guy had been sleeping. And he goes, it's all solved, Wes. We don't have any more problems. They're gone. They're still here, but they're not bothering us anymore. I don't really want to talk about this anymore. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, but that's, you know. Oh. And I'm like, you got to tell me what happened.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've been talking to you guys for months, man.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't really want to go into it. You wouldn't believe it anyway if I told you. And I was like, well, try me.
Yeah, yeah, now please. Really, yeah, you got to.
He goes, well, he goes, my brother decided to call it a spirit medium to the property.
Oh.
And he goes, I was pissed because the only way to deal with these things was to shoot them. And he goes, what's a spirit medium going to do? And so this lady comes out to the property, and this lady's story is she's an ex-Satanist. She used to be a Satan worshiper. Yeah. She claimed she knew demons by first name, and she became a Christian and everything else. And so she helps with poltergeist activity. And for whatever reason, the guy, he was like, this is our last ditch effort.
Yeah.
I really want these things to leave me and my family alone. And so she comes out, she starts walking up the deck.
Yeah.
And she acts like she's going to collapse. And they thought she was having a heart attack. And so they ask her, they're like, he's like, call 911. She's having a heart attack.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of entities on your property. And one of the brothers starts laughing. He goes, what are you talking about? He's thinking that's some crazy old woman.
Right.
You haven't even seen one yet. What do you mean you're overwhelmed?
Yeah.
And so she goes, there's two of them over there right now. And they both look over and they see these two heads pop down.
Whoa.
Under the brush. And he goes, Wes, I don't know who this lady is. He goes, but so we take her inside the house and she goes, what we need to do is pray.
Mm-hmm.
Now I knew neither one of these guys are, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like kind of rolling their eyes. They're like, you know, whatever. But they do it.
Yeah.
Which is funny because prayer is like the last ditch effort for a scoundrel. You know what
totally,
I mean?
Totally,
like,
yeah.
And so they do it. And she says, she's, you know, saying in Jesus' name, don't come back.
Yes.
She goes, now what we need to do is go out to the edge of the property and do the same thing. And the brothers are still kind of dragging their feet on it, but they're like, okay, whatever. And so they go out there and they do it.
Yeah.
And there's a woman in white that I'll come back to the woman in white. But so he goes, Wes, the strangest thing happens. They won't cross the property line anymore. They'll come up to the edge of the property line. They'll still scream and yell. Sometimes they still throw rocks, but they won't cross on the property. And he goes, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He goes, I don't know if this is coincidence or what. And so he goes, it's strange. He goes, and I got to tell you about, they had mentioned this woman in white several times. And I asked him, I didn't think to ask any questions because I asked him, I said, well, who's this woman in white? And he goes, I think it's a homeless woman. And she's dressed in all white. And he goes, to be honest with you, Wes, she's built like a Sasquatch. And I started laughing. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, she's about 6'5". And she goes, she's got gray hair and it's in dreadlocks. And all the clothes she wears looks like she stole them. Like nothing actually fits her. And he goes, the shoes, she goes, she wears clown shoes. And I go, what do you mean clown shoes? And he goes, they're obviously too big for her. They're like size 15. And they would see her constantly for months go across their property to the National Forest. And they figured it was just some homeless woman out there.
Yeah.
And he said, we tried to stop her several times. And we asked her, we said, do you need help? And she would never acknowledge them. And they would try and stop her constantly saying, you know, we're not going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need food? Is her family looking for you? He goes, if I were to guess her age, I'd guess she was about 65, 66, late 60s. And, he goes, but here's where it gets weird. So we see this woman all the time. So after the spirit medium lady leaves and we're not having any problems, he goes, we can still hear them up on the ridgeline constantly roaring up there.
Gotcha.
And pretty soon here comes this woman in white. And he goes, you know, the strange part about it, Wes, is I have snake boots. And from my shins down, it's nothing but mud. This woman was never dirty. Right. He goes, but it never hit me. And so here she comes. He goes, it's about 7 o'clock at night. And here she, and he goes, we can hear him up there. He goes, it sounded like a bunch of WWE wrestlers up there. You know, don't hit me, Chris. But it sounds like them up there fighting.
Yeah.
And he goes, I mean, he goes, the trees are being knocked over. He goes, it just sounded like a fight was going on. Pretty soon here comes this woman in white. It's about 7 o'clock. And he goes, we're trying to stop her. She won't look at us. And she just keeps walking. So he goes, fine. He goes, screw her. You know, they're like, she's dead.
Right. You
know, good riddance. And he goes, so we go to bed for the night. And he goes, we come out. And he goes, I don't remember if it was like Saturday morning. His brother comes over. They're out there smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
He goes, pretty soon here comes this woman in white. strolling down like she owns the place. And he goes, both of our jaws hit the floor. And he goes, to be honest with you, he goes, I had enough of this. I need to know who this woman is.
Yeah.
He goes, so I run out to her and I'm telling her, stop, 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 stop. And she just keeps walking. And he goes, I don't talk to women like this. He goes, but I command, he goes, I told her, he goes, I command you to stop.
Yeah.
And she stopped. And he goes, Wes, he goes, I'm within probably 4 feet of this woman in white. She turns around and he goes, she gave me the most evil, sinister smile. He goes, you wouldn't think a smile could be sinister. This is the most evil smile I've ever seen. And she was gone. Hmm. And I go, what do you mean she was gone? And he goes, she was just gone. And I verified it with the other brother. He goes, yeah, I was sitting about 20 feet away in my chair having a cigarette, drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And he goes, I thought my, he goes, it was one of those moments where you're like, is this reality? Is this, because this, we had seen this woman for months. Sure. And now she's gone.
Yeah.
And so they call the spirit medium lady back up and they tell her about the woman in white.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's what she says. And I'm not saying I buy into this, but I'm not sure what to think about this.
Gotcha.
She says these, and she uses certain terms, but she says these creatures are empty vessels coming up out of the earth. They're nothing more than wild animals. Only when they're possessed can they do extraordinary things. She goes, you hear about, she goes, everyone in the before world's kind of right. She goes, you hear about these glowing red eyes.
Yeah.
And it's not eye shine. She goes, only when they're possessed can they do things like that. This woman wasn't a woman. It was a very powerful demonic entity presenting itself as a woman. And the reason why they were going crazy on the hill is because she was coming. She's the controller. And
wow.
I was just like,
heavy
what?
Right there, dude.
And so she's
going more into the spirit side of things.
Yeah.
These are some kind of an entity, like we mentioned, from the other world.
But she said they can be killed, you know, and she sure, some of the things she told them, this woman knows a little bit more than what she, it's not quite as crazy as it sounds because she says things that are legitimate, but she says that they can be killed and that she went on anyway.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's the, to me, like if there's no bodies and there's no bones and there's no droppings in the forest, with the sightings, that there's something going on where it just disappears as if a spirit would or an entity or something along those lines, you know?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Billy, you have a lot of questions you want to ask Wes. He's been doing a little research here.
What would be your top three videos that you've seen that are most convincing out there? Or do you have any?
Two of them.
Okay.
Were sent to me privately, and they would definitely make the list. I guess everyone says a Patterson Gimlin film.
Yeah, that, I mean, you can't. That's pretty.
But I know
convincing.
Bob. I know Bob pretty well, so I believe.
Yeah,
that, they filmed it.
I mean, that one right there is definitely convincing because it's a female. You see the breasts. I mean, who's gonna take the time if you're gonna make a monkey costume to make it a female, or you know what I mean? And just there's a lot of convincing. I mean, a lot of. Realness to that video.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think some of the best videos they don't get put out there.
Yeah.
Thinker Thunker has some pretty good ones.
Yes, he does. I've seen a couple of his, man.
There's one that have you seen the one where this guy's filming and he's a famous like National Geographic photographer or a filmmaker.
Okay.
And he's filming, I don't remember what it was. It was deer or
talking about like looking on the side of a mountain sort of thing.
Yeah, and this thing takes off running.
Yeah.
And it's this black thing that takes off running.
Oh,
and he never saw it. When he was filming, he never picked up on it. So they went back to the editing room and he was like, what the hell is that?
Wow.
And it's keeping up the same speed, and it's running on two legs, and it's all black.
Wow.
And it's a great video.
I haven't seen it. The one that I saw was with, actually, me and Dean Ambrose were watching from the WWE. He's a big squatcher, too. Was, I think, like, I'm probably really wrong with this, but it was, like, either a herd of deer or sheep or something, and they're running out of the mountain. You can see up top something kind of up there. Like, not chasing it, but it's walking, and they're just, like, kind of staying far ahead of them. We just saw it a couple months ago.
Maybe it's the same one, but this one's actually running with...
Maybe that was it. But it was something really weird. We're like, that thing does not look like those things, and those things are running away from that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But when he talked to that guy, too, they had to be, like, helicoptered in. So, I mean, who's going to be in a monkey suit out there running around?
Right.
There's one called the Unseen Tribes. I think, have you ever seen that video? This dude's walking with his dog. And then all of a sudden, a huge tree falls not far from him. Okay. Then he's got it on his camera phone. So when he gets back, he realizes that there's a creature that pushes that tree. That's a pretty convincing. Yeah. Right,
oh wow,
there. Dude, it is a tree.
And all these stuff you can probably find if you look up Sasquatch videos on YouTube or something like that.
I know that one you're talking about. That is a good
one. That's pretty convincing.
Yeah. So go check those out. Yeah.
Definitely, man. That was
there was something behind that tree.
There definitely was, and you could tell it was big too.
Yeah.
Well, you got what's next, Billy?
Yeah. What about Todd Standing? How about, do you know him at all?
Yeah, I know Todd. I know of him.
Yeah,
I don't really know him.
Well, now first let's explain who Todd's.
Todd Standing. He's a Canadian researcher, British Columbia area, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got some of the shots and videos.
Did you watch that thing on Netflix that he did?
I haven't yet.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
Gotta see it. Yeah, I gotta.
What's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's called. What's it called?
It's a Bigfoot movie. A documentary.
I'll show you guys. It's good. He does have legitimate. In my opinion, he does have legitimate Sasquatches in there. The crazy part is. Everyone thinks they're going to see the Patterson-Gimlin creature.
Right.
9 times out of 10, that's not what you see.
Yeah, okay.
And he has a creature in there. Here's what changed my opinion about Todd Standing, because like everyone else in the Bigfoot world, you get called a hoaxer and a liar.
Totally.
And so for the longest time, I wasn't sure about him.
Discovering Bigfoot is what you're talking about. Bigfoot. 2017, director Todd Standing.
So yeah, watch it, Chris. It's pretty good. He does a good job.
I'm watch that.
So go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you there.
But there is some good... video he has, and he has legitimate audio in there too. The growls that you hear in there is legit. I've heard those growls before. I think he's a little nutty for going out there by himself.
He is nutty on that. I agree with you on that.
But I think that Todd, I mean, listen, he's suing the Canadian government
for
the recognition of Sasquatch,
and he's actually got the court case going through right now.
Suing them for what?
For recognition of
Sasquatch. to recognize that it's an actual creature.
Wow, he's suing Canada.
Yeah,
and I think he has legitimate stuff.
He even told a government story, a government cover-up story that he had been to a couple places, and the one night he was out there and he heard helicopters. He was up at a place where he always saw them and knew that they were. So he's near the place. All of a sudden, it's dark. He hears helicopters. All right. All of a sudden, next thing you know, he hears a bunch of gunshots. Pow, 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 pow. They're not there anymore after that. So, yeah, that's a crazy story that he told on.
And I've heard a lot of those off there.
So it's like, is the military killing those poor creatures?
I think, going back to the 411.
Yeah.
I think when too many people start missing in an area, they do go in and kill these creatures.
They go in and take them out. Yeah.
And it's not for the public safety. It's because too many eyebrows are being raised now.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's areas where people go where they're basically like massacred by these, like not all at once, but maybe people will disappear regularly if they go into this certain area?
Yeah, there's a lot of areas where people just vanish under strange circumstances. And I would say, you know, a lot of those, I'm a reasonable man. People go out, things happen. You can get hurt.
Accidents happen,
you can get attacked by a cougar. You know, cougars out here are the size of small tigers.
Yeah.
You'll rarely ever see one, but... There's other situations where people are undressed.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Or they're found without their shoes. Their shoes are taken.
Yeah.
And if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't want someone running off, what's the first thing you want to do is take their shoes from them.
It's true.
Because now they can't get to it.
Yeah.
There's so many cases like that to where there was a lady who was, I'm going to butcher the story. She was murdered.
Okay.
And these two guys, it was a guy and a girl. And it was in a place in Oklahoma where these things are notorious of being. And here's a strange death, for instance. This woman was ripped open, and the look on her face, she was actually sexually assaulted too, and she was ripped open. Wow. And they weren't, it was like someone just ripped her open. It wasn't like a clean...
A cut or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy that she was with, his head was turned 360 degrees, and his body had been thrown about 70 feet from where she was at.
Wow, both of them were murdered.
Both of them were murdered.
Oh my God.
Where is this, in the state somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, sorry. Oklahoma,
yeah. Wow, and I'll send you the case if you want to check it out, Chris, but, or you too, Billy.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
It's a strange case, man.
That is strange.
So you're saying there was no any resolve to the case. They never found out who did it.
Cops had no idea.
Just a no total
evidence of
butcher
bodies, huh?
In fact, one of the cops that was there, he was like, it wouldn't shock me if one of these creatures did it. Yes, I have no idea what else did it.
Because there's a lot of sightings in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots.
But not only that, but there's I'm starting to get dogman reports.
Yeah, I've heard about that too.
Let's talk about the dogman too, because he's kind of the hip thing right now.
Yeah.
Besides a good King's X album, like Dogman.
So tell
us about the Dogman.
I had a guy who contacted me, and I'm starting to get a lot of these reports, but he was he actually became a preacher because of this.
Oh, wow.
So he's out with his girlfriend. This is down in the South, and they're cruising down this one spot where everyone goes to make out. They're in high school.
Yeah.
And as they're heading down, they park, and as they park, he has the music on. He's talking to, which is going to be his future wife, but his girlfriend at the time. And they hear deer coming. And the deer are running for their lives.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, that's strange. Like, the deer are just, you can hear them just coming. And then they felt something bump the car. Well, he goes, I've been out here before. And, you know, my football buddies. And he thought it was one of them giving him crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that had happened before.
Gotcha.
So he gets out of the car. And, as he gets out of the car, the interior light comes on, and he's within 4 feet of what he describes as a half man, half wolf. He said it had the body of, he goes, I guess like a Sasquatch or like a man. It was standing up like a man.
Yeah.
But it had the head of he goes, I'm telling you, it was a wolf. And he goes, it was actually drooling its teeth. Whoa. And this guy is breaking down as he's telling me the story.
Oh, really?
And he said its eyes were glowing red. God. And he said his girlfriend starts screaming because she looked back and saw it.
Saw it.
And as it was, he was sitting there face to face with this thing. He said he noticed something else, another set of red eyes moving, trying to get in closer. So he got back in the car and he took off. And he goes, Wes, I actually became a preacher because of this. He goes, I actually felt like I found God because of this. And he goes, I don't know what to tell you what it was. This happened back in the 60s. He goes, I don't know. I can't tell you what this thing was. He goes, but it was an upright half man. He goes, a werewolf. Basically, it was a werewolf.
Basically, yeah.
And he goes, but it stood about 8 feet tall. He goes, if I were to guess, it was probably 600-700 pounds. And he goes, just staring at me. And he goes, this bothered me my whole life. And he goes, I still have no clue what we ran into that night. But I get them all the time. I mean, I had
dogman sightings.
Cops. I had one, a lady that came on the show, and her nephew had run into one in Texas. He had worked his whole life to become a police officer, and this happened back in 93. They pull over these Mexican guys, and as they have them pulled over, the guys in this truck start screaming Lobo, which is wolf, and Lobo. And he's like, well, what do you guys... And they want their license back, and they grab the license, and they put it in gear, and they take off. They don't care. They care less. It was a cop sitting there. Cobb looks over, and he says, this thing comes out, and he goes, it was a werewolf. He goes, I don't know what to tell you. It was a werewolf. And he goes, it had glowing red eyes, so I shot it. He took out his pistol, and he shot it. Shot it. He goes, I shot it several times. He goes, it didn't seem like it affected it. It roared at me.
Jeez. Whoa.
He gets in his patrol car. And here's the sad part of the story. So he called, his aunt is into weird stuff. So he thought the only person that would believe him would be his aunt.
Gotcha.
So he's crying, calls his aunt one night. He'd been drinking all night.
Mm-hmm.
Tells his aunt, he said, here's what happened. Here's what I ran into. I don't know what this thing was, but it's following me now. She goes, what do you mean it's following you? He goes, I have to travel this same road every night, and it's following me. And you get that type of reports from dogmen when people shoot these things on their property.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now they become the focus of these creatures.
Oh.
He became such a bad alcoholic, he ended up dying from it. Mm. He lost his job. Dude. He'd worked his whole life to become a cop.
Couldn't take it.
Started drinking.
Man, that's crazy. It's like a demon or something.
Something. Sounds like a demon or something to me.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What else do you have, Billy? Is there questions?
Well, how about the, did you ever read the story about how Daniel Boone supposedly killed a Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah. No kidding. I never read that one.
And it makes you wonder, well, what did they do with the body? You know what I mean? If he did it.
He bragged about it.
You know?
So tell us that story, Wes.
I don't know it too well. He had a name for it. What do you call him? Yahoos?
Yahoos, yeah.
Daniel Boone.
Yeah,
really?
Daniel Boone, yeah. He called him Yahoos. And when he wrote about them, he said they were the hairy giants, the Yahoos. And they stunk horrible.
Yes, just like the ones today that they talk about. Yeah.
And he said that they make horrendous sounds. And I guess he would go into like bars and tell this story.
Yeah.
Or into pubs.
And tell.
Mm-hmm. But his description sounds like a modern day.
Sounds like a Sasquatch to me. Yeah. And it's like, I wonder what happened to the body. What did you do with the body, Dan?
Yeah.
You know, if you killed it, what did you do? And there's that one guy in California who says he shot two of them. He shot him from his car. He's rolling down the back road.
Yeah.
You know that guy? I don't know his name.
Justin Smihan.
That's it. And he didn't get the bodies neither.
No. How are they not getting the bodies?
I don't know. He shot a grown one and a young one, a juvenile, supposedly, and rolled out of there. Went back the next day, and the bodies were gone. If I'm not
mistaken. I don't remember if they went back the next day or
a couple days later. Something happened.
You know, it's strange. If you watch the movies from the 40s and stuff, if you shot a werewolf with a silver bullet, it would disappear.
Yes.
You know, or it would revert back to human form.
Right.
You know, but you would never be able to catch this body. And you have to wonder, like, is there something to that? If you shoot the Sasquatch and kill it, does it just disappear?
Because I don't think so.
Well, then where does it go? Where are all the remains and the droppings?
Well, there's a couple of things I think that are going on there. I think a lot of times when people shoot these things, they're freaking out.
Yeah.
They're not there to collect anything. A lot of times when these hunters, and I've talked to a few of them that shot these things,
yeah,
they're concerned for their life and the size of these things.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do, even if it was a bear, if you shot the bear and it went down, is go over and poke it and see if it's dead or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Because what if it's not? We've seen enough Jason movies where it's going to reach up and kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are just freaking out when they shoot them. And like that one guy, he shot it above the knee, and he just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, he just wanted to.
He didn't go. Mm-hmm. He didn't go back until a couple of days later to even get the bullet or anything.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with the size of these things, you can't pick up a deer and walk out.
That's true. How are you going to get it out of there?
These things are, three times, four times, 10 times the size.
Usually, there's more than one around. If there's one around, and they'll probably drag them off. If you know what I mean, drag their dead off or something.
I think some of these things do eat each other.
Ah.
I think that they do eat their dead.
Hmm.
I don't think that they bury anything. Out here, like in the Pacific Northwest, you're not going to... If I shot a deer, it's not going to be there a week and a half from now. It'll be gone. The forest will clean it up.
Yes.
Because of the environment, it's just not going to last.
Yeah.
But that's a very valid question, Chris. And people ask that all the time. Where's all the dead bodies?
Yeah.
And there's not a great answer.
Yeah,
there's really not.
Because you know my side. Like I think I mentioned this. We talked before. Is that the world has so much forestry in it? You're talking about just the state of Oregon itself.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how much is there? I don't even hundreds of thousands of square miles of woods.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that you know everything that's in the woods because it's impossible.
Right.
Just like don't tell me you know everything that's in the universe and everything that's in the bodies of water and the earth.
Exactly.
It's just too expansive. So I'm not saying that I don't think there's stuff out there. I just don't understand that if they come close enough to civilization and start dealing with civilization. Right. They get shot, that you wouldn't find something more than just a footprint or some hair. There'd be poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they got to poop, right? That's some true. Kind of weird drop. You
there are,
put that in a DNA bag and send it to your friend.
There are people finding the poop, though.
There is. Yeah, a lot of people find the scat. But the problem with scat is you can't.
Can't analyze it?
It's not great for DNA.
Oh, gotcha.
It deteriorates so quick.
Yeah.
And there's so many enzymes and everything else that's in there that DNA is going to be gone. And
yeah.
I mean, you hear these Bigfoot guys that freeze and, you know, put it in their freezer or whatever. It's like, for God's sakes, man. I mean, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
Put it around a chain and wear it as a necklace.
Yeah.
What else you got, Billy? You got other questions?
That's pretty much rounded out what I had.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Dude, that we could speak for hours on this, you know. Yeah. I mean, I go on and on.
I do think the dog man is not. There's, I do think it's more demonic. In my own opinion.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I totally agree.
I don't think it's natural.
The Squatch is more of an
organic creature.
Yes, exactly.
The weird thing is, you get natural stories. I would say most encounters are people just accidentally running into them.
Yep.
You know, hiking.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
And they just stumble into them.
Yeah.
And so I think most encounters seem very natural. You know, the creature's eating, the creature's doing something, or it's going from point A to point B. But there is a portion of encounters that are very odd, that are very strange. That's true. They do fall more in the paranormal. And I think the older I get, the more I realize I don't know everything. You know what I mean? It seems like every year I realize I know nothing. And so I do stop and listen to those encounters too, as well, because I think it's important to hear.
Well, there's also the other theory too, that they're alien creatures.
Yeah,
you know, that's why they come and go so much, because they fly away or wherever the hell they go, which, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah, no one has one in their garage or studying.
That's true. That's exactly right.
Have you ever had any type of encounters, Billy?
The only close encounter, or the only thing close to an encounter I had, was with my wife. We were, I talked to her about it today too. We were on this trail called the Bartram Trail, and it's in the Appalachians, but we were on the North Carolina side of it, and which is right next to Georgia. So we're rolling down the trail, and I used to mess with her, do a tree knock and be like, what was that? You know?
Yeah.
So we're rolling down this trail, and she turns around, she goes, "Stop doing that. I know that's you." I was like, "What?" And all of a sudden I heard a pa-pa way off kind of over here to my left. And I started thinking, well, this is the fall, and somebody must be chopping wood. And then it did it again. Pop, pop. So it's not an axe hitting a tree. So she just takes off running down the trail, dude. Just gone. The dog's with her. I'm like, hold on. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, I heard some movement over there, like up where the knock was. And by that time, she was gone. So we both ran down the trail, and I was like, hold on. And, you know, I'm going to the car. And we were the only ones out there on that trail that day. So there's no telling what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, something that's strange, the closest thing to to an encounter. You know,
yeah, which is still, it's still enough.
And it got me, it made my arm hair stand up. I was like, uh-oh, hold on.
Yeah, no, let's be careful what you wish for, man.
I know, I agree. And I think they are in the Appalachians. There's been a lot of sightings and stuff.
A lot of missing people, too.
Lots of missing people.
That's the other thing, too, Chris, you asked about it. If you look at, like, a map of... And you probably know this, Billy, because you look into it. But if you look at, like, hotbed of where people are reporting these things, and you line up the map with missing people, it's almost disturbing.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen. Very disturbing.
Yeah,
that is.
Because in those exact same hotbeds where people are claiming to see these things,
there's a lot of
missing people in those areas. A lot. Appalachian Trail is notorious.
What are the hotbeds? You mentioned Appalachian Trail. Where else?
There's a lot of places, like down in Texas.
Even Yosemite and stuff like that. Yeah,
Yosemite, east of Conroe. The crazy part about this, and you said it earlier, Chris, it's amazing how close these things are to civilization.
When they want to be. When they come close, right? Yeah.
Like, if I showed you where a lot of encounters happen, you'd be shocked that, you know, like, we're in downtown Portland right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I can take you guys 30 minutes north.
That's what you said, yeah.
And I guarantee probably after midnight you'll hear them. I won't say you'll see them, but you'll hear them.
Really?
And we're in downtown Portland.
Crazy.
And so
got a date next
they're
time.
Not that... Yeah, man, I'll take you up there,
brother. Awesome, bro.
So they're not in the middle of nowhere. That's not where people are. It seems like they're close to civilization in a lot of states, especially here in Washington. Like I said, man, we're only 30 minutes from...
But here's the thing, like if you go to Banff, right, which is just outside of Calgary, it's a mountain town.
Yep.
On a rare day, but it's happened. I've seen it. You see moose will walk through town.
Yeah.
They'll just walk through, hang out, and split. Doesn't happen often, but they come close enough to where they're there.
Yeah.
So I mean, once again, who's to say that squatches wouldn't be hanging around and maybe don't want to come into town, but if a moose is going to walk into town, they're not exactly the bravest of creatures, and you'll never find one, but there it was, freaking moose. So why wouldn't a squatch maybe just be checking out, like you said, being close? How close can we get, you know?
Yeah, you hear about them a lot on Native American reservations, going through the trash.
Going through trash. I've heard about that a lot.
Definitely. You sure it's not just bears?
No, these people are pretty...
I mean, obviously,
definitely.
There's a place here... it was at Harstein Island, north of here, probably about an hour and a half. And it's notorious for sightings. I mean, absolutely notorious for sightings. And there's a campground up there. It's the only campground up there. And people report, even during the day, these things walking in, going through the dumpster, and then strolling out of there like they own the place.
Wow.
And there's tons of encounters in the Harstein Island.
What do they call them? Wendigo? Or is it something else?
Just Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, that's right. Yeah. That's actually an Indian word.
Natives call it Wendigo. Yeah, they call it the hairy man.
Sasquatch, Yeti, Bigfoot.
Yeah. Tons of names, man.
As we wind down here, what's the still to this day, the one story that you have that still, if someone said, tell us one Sasquatch story that freaks you out or whatever it may be, is there one that stands out in your mind?
Oh, man. That would be tough. That would be really, really tough. I can tell you a recent one.
Sure.
A guy on the show. The problem is I've heard so many odd stories.
Yeah.
From people being attacked to people. I'll tell a different one because I told that one last time I was on, Chris. The recent one I have is this guy. He was trying to reconnect with his father.
Gotcha.
In South Carolina. And he lived in, I believe, Utah. So he moves out to South Carolina to reconnect with his dad. They never had a great relationship. His dad owned all this property. And his dad's a true country boy.
Like, yeah.
Run a generator at night.
No
running water.
Yeah.
You know, straight up. But anyway, so he goes out there and he's staying with his dad. And he's like, we're in this tiny trailer. It's hot. And we got to open the windows at night. And he goes, I actually had a box fan with an extension cord going all the way to the generator.
Yeah.
To cool the place down.
Right.
So they come home. He asks his dad, he goes, can I borrow the van? He goes, I got to go into town to get some things. So him and his wife go into town and they come back and it's after dark.
Mm-hmm.
His dad doesn't want any smoking in the house. So they sit outside and smoke in the van.
Gotcha.
And they're sitting in the driveway and it's dark now. And his wife, I talked to his wife too. His wife goes, why did the neighbor just run past the van? And he goes, well, what are you talking about? That wasn't the neighbor. She goes, well, what was that? It just ran past the van. And he goes, it was like a flash. I mean, it was that quick. And what ended up happening was this thing goes around to his side and starts growling at him. And he goes, the growl, and he goes, it actually did a large, like a loud whoop. Huh. Right next to the van. He goes, it was so loud. He goes, it rang my ears.
Wow.
And just shook me. And this thing starts growling. And so he's sitting there and he's trying to, and his wife's actually, she's down like at the floorboard, you know, like just, she's like a ball down at the
floor. Dude.
She's hiding.
Freaking out.
She's a smart one out there.
Yeah.
So she's down there and he's trying to figure out what's going on. So he said that it grabbed, he hits his brakes.
Yeah.
And it lights it up and it's on his side of the van.
Whoa.
And it's not quite in the back. But it's next, it lights it right up.
Yeah.
And he goes, it was probably 8 feet tall. He goes, about 4 feet wide. And he goes, I didn't know what it was. He goes, I didn't know. He goes, I complete confusion on what's going on. It grabs the top of the van and starts rocking it.
Whoa.
And he said it was actually rocking the van, like lifting the van up as it was rocking it.
Oh my gosh.
His dad came out and with a shotgun and fired off like 3 or 4 shots in the air.
Yeah.
And started yelling at it. And it stopped rocking the van, put the van down, just stood there and looked at him.
Really?
And so his dad's not sure what to do. Like, am I going to shoot this thing or what? And he says, finally, it took off. And him and his wife can barely walk. They get out. They run up to the house. And he's like, Dad, what was that? And his dad's like, I've been here for 40 years of my life. I've heard those sounds before, but I never knew what was making it. I'd never seen that before, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And so they get inside the house, and they're trying to calm down. Obviously, the creature's gone, so they thought. And him and his wife go back to the backside of the trailer, and they were all going to sleep in the same room, but I guess his dad's kind of an older guy and likes to sleep in his underwear, and he's like,
yeah,
my wife's here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they go back to the opposite end of the room, and he said, this huge rock hits the side of the house.
They love throwing those rocks.
They do. They always do, yeah.
And another one hits the fan in the window, almost breaks the top of the fan off. And another one hit the side of the house. And so him and his dad grab shotguns and flashlights, and they go out there. Yeah. Well, they didn't see anything. But the next day, it finally left.
Yeah.
The next day, you go out, and he said these rocks were like the size of bowling balls.
Oh, really?
This thing was hurling.
Hurling those things.
And it actually had torn the side of the aluminum trailer.
Yeah.
Because it hit it so hard.
I bet so, dude.
God. And he said where it actually had grabbed the side of his dad was pissed. Where it grabbed the side of the van was kind of where one of the side doors opened. So it grabbed the top of it. It had actually bent it down about 4 or 5 inches from where it grabbed it and started shaking the van.
Wow.
And he's like, we were out of there, man. He goes, I didn't believe in Bigfoot before. And you hear that all the time.
Now you become a believer after stuff like that.
Why do you believe in Bigfoot, Billy?
Man, I as a kid, when I first saw that Patterson-Gimlin film, I was fascinated with it back then. But then I started hiking and biking a bunch and just loved being out in the woods. And then finally, you know, one of these, one day I was like, well, what if there's any Bigfoot videos on YouTube? And I just got into it a few years ago. And, became like a real believer. I mean, you know, they're out there. I mean, I believe they are out there.
Think we'll ever catch one or get a body? Or
I think eventually. I think what'll end up happening is they'll disclose it. But when they disclose this, see, when you pull at a string on a shirt, all of a sudden the shirt starts falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you disclose this, then what else is real?
Yeah.
Right.
And so now you almost kind of have. Now, how do you answer for? You asked me about cover-ups before. How do you answer for people who went missing? Loved ones who are gone. Now if they had known about it the whole time, that's liability on the government for not saying anything.
Right, exactly.
So there's a lot of problems with disclosing
tape on that
Yeah, man, it's a secretive, creepy world that we live in.
Yes.
And you're making it even creepier, Wes. Thanks for joining us today, man.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
All right, did you like it, Billy?
I loved it, dude. Loved it.
Thanks to Wes Germer from the Sasquatch Chronicles and Billy Gray from Fozzy for sharing and enjoying all those creepy stories. If you've had a Bigfoot sighting or encounter, let Wes know. You can email him at wes@sasquatchchronicles.com, and maybe he'll have you on his podcast. You can share those with him. And of course, you can listen and subscribe to the Sasquatch Chronicles at Apple Podcasts at sasquatchchronicles.com, and you can hear Billy Gray on the new Fozzy record at Judas. So if you missed Billy on the Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rage at Sea, you still got a chance to see the entire Sea of Honor tournament. Flip Gordon, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Lots of great stuff, man. So many good matches. And of course, the biggest main event of the year between the Alpha Club, the Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson, versus the Bullet Club featuring Kenny Omega, Marty Scurll, and Cody. People are calling it a must-see classic. Just sign up for the Streaming for Vengeance pay-per-view at Fight.tv or on the Fight TV app. Streaming for Vengeance happens tomorrow night, Saturday, November 3rd at 8 p.m., and Fight.tv and the Fight TV app are the only way to see it. Also, don't forget Jericho versus Evil on New Japan World. That's early Saturday morning from the sold-out Osaka Edeon Arena. So you can see two new Chris Jericho matches in one day. Come check out Jericho versus Evil at New Japan World in the morning at probably 6 a.m. Eastern time. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Streaming for Vengeance, Alpha Club versus Bullet Club. And of course, if you live in New Zealand, Australia, and Canada, Fozzy is headed your way starting next week. Auckland at the Studio, November 7th. Then we're back to Australia. Melbourne at Max Watts on November 9th. That's my birthday. Yay me. November 10th, Sydney at the Manning Bar. November 13th, Adelaide at the Gov. November 14th in Brisbane at the Triffid. Then we fly back to finish off the Judas Rising tour in Canada. We start off with 3 Days Grace, November 21st in Moncton. 23rd in Halifax, 24th is Quebec City, 25th is Montreal, all with 3 days grace. Then we go on a headlining tour, Arn Pryor on November 26th. That's sold out at the John Street. London, Ontario, London Music Hall on the 27th. 28th, Toronto at the Rock Pile. Come check us out there. How about November 30th, Thunder Bay at Crocs. December 1st, hometown show, Winnipeg at the Burton Cummings Theater. The 2nd is in Regina at the Exchange. The 3rd, Edmonton at the Starlight Room. And we finish off the entire Judas Rising tour in Calgary, Alberta at the Gateway on December 4th. Go to FozzyRock.com for all ticket information and also get tickets for Fozzy's legendary VIP meet and greets, one of the best in the business. We play a mini concert for you. We hang out. We meet you. We greet you. We do anything you want to do. Go to FozzyRock.com for all that information. All right. What a crazy week it's been. It continues as I'm heading to Japan in about 2 hours. The Rock never stops, but still, we're still taking it to you. And coming up Wednesday, exclusive, the entire Bullet Club. Kenny Omega, Marty Scurll, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Adam Page. And they've got a huge announcement regarding the Bullet Club. So you're going to hear that. The exclusive announcement right here on Talk is Jericho. You're going to hear that on Wednesday. Enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend. Don't forget about streaming for Vengeance. Go check that out. Fight.tv. Alpha Club versus Bullet Club. You do not want to miss it. It's a very, very cool moment in my career. We'll see you then. Thank you. In the meantime, in between time, stay hard, stay cool, stay hungry. Peace, big peace and love. We say, oh yeah.